Tonight, the MSU Department of Geography welcomes acclaimed artist and cultural activist Chris Jordan to the Payson Theater at Wharton Center. Jordan turns data into powerful art, including images made up of thousands of credit cards or cigarettes or Barbie dolls. His current project is called Running the Numbers, an American Self-Portrait. Jordan explains why data and statistics are the starting point for his work.
I'm interested in facing the difficult, frightening, enormous realities of the time we live in. And as a photographer, it's vexing and kind of impossible to go take photographs of these mass phenomena because it's all spread out over hundreds of thousands of different locations. You know, so there's nowhere you can go take a picture of all the trees that are cut down in the U.S. every year to make the paper for junk mail. Or, you know, the 210 billion plastic bottles we used last year in the United States. And so the only information we have to try to relate to those phenomena are these incomprehensibly gigantic statistics. And as a photographer, I was just thinking, like, I wish there was a Mount Everest of our garbage that I could go take a picture of, because then we would feel something. And we could, begin to relate to the problems in a different way. And yet that's impossible. And so that was kind of the inspiration behind creating these very large-scale digital images that contain hundreds of thousands of smaller photographs and actually attempt to depict the actual numbers of things that we consume and waste.
Can you describe one piece of work in your project and how it came about, if you have a favorite maybe, or one you're particularly proud of?
You know, there's one piece that every time I see it, it hits me again, the same way it did when I first made it, and that's a piece that I made called Prison Uniforms. And that piece it's a very large-scale digital artwork, 10 by 23 feet in size, that depicts 2.3 million folded prison uniforms, which is equal to the number of Americans incarcerated. And when I first made that image, you know, I pasted 2.3 million prison uniforms onto this massive canvas in Photoshop. And every time I have printed the image, I have made the prints and watched those long 10-foot-tall prints slowly come out of my printer depicting hundreds of thousands of uniforms, you know, each one representing one American in jail. And every single time I get to see that piece, it hits me again.
Why that one? Just because of the... why does that one resonate so much more than the others?
I think maybe it has something to do with the fact that it's about people. A lot of my work is about things we waste, you know, trees we cut down or plastic cups we use or whatever. And this one it depicts people. I haven't done a lot of those. And it's much harder, actually, to do a piece that fairly represents human beings. You know, I've wanted for a long time to do a piece that depicts the number of civilian people in Iraq who have died as a result of the Iraq War. You know, the best number is more than a million, and I just can't think of something that will honor them fairly. And so it's just a much more sensitive subject. And when I get one right, like prison uniforms, then it just every time I see it, it breaks my heart again.
Do you feel your work is having the desired impact?
Well, you know, it used to matter to me a lot to try and figure out if my work's making any difference. And I let go of that a while back because what I'm trying to do is something that's it's kind of essentially intuitive or ethereal in nature. You know, it's just a very different kind of work than maybe an activist who's raising money to buy computers to put in a science lab. You know, at the end of the day, they can say, we put 300 computers in science labs today, and, you know, I put my work out there, and it's really, the intention is to shift consciousness. And it's impossible to measure, and there are also lots and lots of other people who are working in, you know, trying to do the same thing, and hopefully it's adding up to something, but it's impossible to know. I just have to kind of keep doing the work and keep my eye on the subject.
Tell us about another piece of work here. You scanned a photo of a Vicodin pill, and you created an image comprised of 213,000 of these pills, made to represent the number of hospital emergency room visits yearly in the United States attributed to the abuse and misuse of prescription painkillers and anti-anxiety medications. Tell us about how that unfolded.
Each one of the pieces that I do, the inspiration almost always comes from, I'm just reading, you know, I'm reading the news, and I read about a phenomenon that just breaks my heart. It just hits me in the chest. And that one did. You know, when I read those numbers, I had no idea that that many people were suffering overdoses of prescription painkillers. And to me, it's just, there's profound meaning there. I think our culture is, I mean, there's a collective emotional burden that we're all carrying. And my astrologer friend Caroline Casey says the pressure comes down and it ruptures through the thinnest membranes. And so those 200,000 people are, you know, those are the thinnest membranes in our culture, but we're all bearing the same kind of cultural pressure, anxiety for what's happening in our world. And, I read about a phenomenon like that and it just, it inspires me to do something. And so that piece, you know, I wanted to make it a spiral, the sort of spiraling effect of addiction and avoidance and denial that our culture is in.
We're talking with photographer, visual artist Chris Jordan, who appears at the Paysant Theater at the Wharton Center at Michigan State University tonight. Are humans more unaware of these uncomfortable realities, or are we aware and unable or unwilling to confront them?
Well, that's a beautiful question. I mean, that just goes to the heart of it. I think we're all aware, other than, you know, the few people in places that don't have good internet access, but they don't need to be aware anyway because they're not consuming much. But I think us in the first world, we know. And, you know, Al Gore said this 15 years ago. He said, we know what's going on, we know what we should be doing, but we just aren't finding the collective will to do it. And I'm fascinated by that. It's not that we need information about solutions. Like, we have the solutions. The solutions are available to each one of us and to us, you know, collectively. It's just that we have to find the collective will to change. And so I think the last half of your question is the correct one, is that we're refusing to face it. Not because we're bad people, but because I think we're living in fear of what would happen if we faced the reality of our times. And I like to call it fear of sadness. I think we collectively live in fear of sadness. Like, if we allow ourselves to know on a heart level, you know, on a deep level, the extinction of species that's happening, and to really grok the destruction of the Amazon rainforest, and so on. A friend of mine the other day said it really clearly. She said, I'm afraid if I start crying, I'll never stop.
There is a sense of alarm and immensity to your work. Do you ever have to distance yourself from this to keep putting one foot in front of the other? I mean, what encourages you?
It's hard not to live on the pendulum, you know, swinging back and forth between hope and hopelessness and, you know, joy and despair. And what I'm really interested in is learning how to hold them both rather than focusing on, you know, feeling hope and then getting dragged over to hopelessness and then trying to drag myself back to hope. I want to learn how to live in the paradox of our time, which is to be simultaneously filled with hope and filled with hopelessness. And simultaneously filled with despair and horror and with wonderment and joy and love. Because the world is still a miracle and it's in a state of collapse. Those things are both true at the same time, and to hold them together, I mean, these kind of antithetical conflicting truths, like, that's what I want to learn how to do.
Your work suggests a genuine alarm over modern society, 21st century consumer society. In addition to your art, do you actively discourage people from buying things they do not need?
Well, you sort of pointed out the challenging tightrope that I try to walk, because I'm much more interested in being an artist than I am an activist. I mean, first of all, discouraging people from using plastic bags and plastic straws and stuff like that, it usually doesn't work, and it's kind of annoying. And even if everybody did it, it wouldn't solve the much bigger problems. And so on one hand, you know, inviting somebody to become a vegetarian or something, it can be like a doorway into an interesting conversation. But I mean, I find the vast majority of all that kind of activism to be kind of preachy, and I don't want to tell people how to behave. You know, it doesn't work, and it's just disrespectful to other people's worldviews. But if I can help somebody see something that they didn't see before in a way that causes them to change their own behavior, then that feels valuable. And on a deeper level, what I really wish for my work is that I can help people remember something that's built inside all of us. And that is to simply live in reverence of the incomprehensibly beautiful miracle our world is. And from there, turn back toward our behaviors and take a look and say, you know, do I want to change? It just doesn't feel up to me to tell anybody how to behave.
Photographer, visual artist Chris Jordan visits the Paysant Theater at Michigan State University tonight. Chris Jordan, a pleasure talking to you. Thanks.
Oh, Mark, thanks so much for having me on, and I look forward to coming and visiting.